So it's great to be back learning together.
Starting again.
Although, again, I didn't start last time. We did at one point when I was teaching Beis actually do something on Daf Beis. So I think it counts as starting again. We are learning, of course, Maseches Moed Katan. I'm beginning with Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It's interesting. What a lot of people like to do before they learn a Masechta is get a Hakdama, get an introduction. The irony of that, of course, is while that's very important, and we will do points of Hakdama for the Masechta, all good introductions are written after the person's finished studying the matter. That's the way it is, because only then do you know what is it that I need to know along the way, what is the conclusion with this, what's the conclusion with that, what can I tell you and what can I give you. So it's a little bit ironic in a way, the way we do introductions. Introductions are not actually what you would naturally learn beforehand, but what someone who has already gone through the process thinks it's important for you to know. But regardless, I thought I would focus on some technical points, which we'll keep an eye on actually a little bit as we learn, although not in detail, as well as do a little bit of introduction. I think the place to start is let's just read the Mishnah at the very least with Rashi. We're not going to, although there are many places where we would have the opportunity to go into depth, because I was aware that a couple of people were missing and it was still August, so I said, you know what, let's leave the meaty stuff for next week, like I referenced in the email. So I didn't do a shiur on Melechus Chol HaMoed. That is clearly and very openly the first major topic, as we'll see in this first big Rashi, and we'll reference this later, but if you flip to the Rif in the back, the Rif actually has, very uncharacteristically, an entire massive introductory section all on Chol HaMoed. Just for those who don't have a Gemara with Rif, if you don't, I'll just show it to you very briefly over here. But it's actually quite fascinating. He has the words Mashkin Beis Hashlachin Taner Rabbanan Eschag Matzos Tishmor Chol HaMoed Chol HaMoed Chol HaMoed Chol HaMoed Chol HaMoed. Way down almost an entire Amud of Chol HaMoed is the entire first Amud of the Rif, and because the Rush generally takes from the Rif, same thing there. So really, from a halachic perspective, we see the critical, important first topic is clearly Melechus Chol HaMoed. Even though it's obviously discussed in great depth in the Masechta itself, there is some words of introduction that are necessary in regards to that as well. But we're going to leave that for now again for next week when we have the Eilam here. And let's just read a little bit from the Mishnah.
Should I bring that to Rachi Halevi to see what he has to say about the Rif introduction?
Well, the Baal HaMoed is a separate story. It's fun. I find myself telling that story more and more as I grow older. Anyways, says the Mishnah. And again, if anybody wants to read at any point, by the way, like last time around, I'm very happy to spare my voice for yelling about something else, especially with the school year starting. You got to get prepped. We had a learning session together, and somebody brought the Gemara of Arba'a Dvarim Mikarin Gzardino Shel Adam. There are four things that tear a person's Gzardin. Tzedakah, Tzedakah, Shinoi Hashem, and Shinoi Maiseh. So they asked, so how do you think this impacts your practice with students leading into the school year? And a couple of us looked at each other and said, Tzedakah, huh? Tzedakah. Hmm. Okay. Mashkin Beis Hashlachin B'moed. One may water a Beis Hashlachin on the Moed. Okay? Says Rashi. What does it mean to water a Beis Hashlachin on the Moed? Mashkin Beis Hashlachin B'moed. Says Rashi. Sadeh Shehi Omedes Bahar. It's a field which stands on top of a mountain, v'tzarich lahashkosa tamid, and you need to constantly water it, mashkin osa afilu b'chulo shel moed, lefi shehu lo hefsid gadalim eno mashke osa. He must water it even on chol ha-moed, that's what moed means, not yantif, because moed oftentimes means yantif. Here Rashi says, number one, he explains what a beis hashlachin is. A beis hashlachin is a field on a mountain, and number two, you water it even on chulo shel moed, lefishu hulo hefsid gadolim eno mashko. So because there will be a great loss if you don't water it, what presumably will happen, it will dry up, you'll lose everything that's there. V'davar shel hefsid hitiru chachamim litruach bo b'chulo shel moed. And for a matter of loss, and again, this is really getting into the nitty-gritty already in the very first Rashi of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, which we're not going to talk about in great depth today, Chazal permitted one to do a tircha on Chol HaMoed, kimosha numotzen b'meseches chagiga, as we find in Meseches Chagiga. And here Rashi gives us some background. Tichsiv, as it's written, sheishis yamim tocha matzos, v'yamashviya tzeres l'Hashem Elokecha. When it says 6 days we eat matzos, and on the seventh day, it's an atzeres for Hashem, mashvi atzur ba'asiyas malacha, just as the seventh day is atzur, Okay, whatever that means, whether it's a language of holding back or whether it's stopping, and one is not allowed to do malacha, af shisha atzurim ba'asiyas malacha, so too then all 6 days which are compared to it should also have the same status, imashvi atzur bechal malacha, af shisha atzurim bechal malacha. If that was the case, then we should say there's an equivalent status completely, that just as the seventh day all malacha, except for those permitted on Yantif, which we learned about in Beitza, are prohibited, then so too on these 6 other days there should be a total iser malacha. Talmud lomar hashvi'i uvayom hashvi'i shvi'i atzur bechal malacha vein shisha atzurin bechal malacha. The 7th day is atzur from all malacha, again except for those exclusions that we discussed, vein shisha atzurin bechal malacha, but not the other 6 days. What we mean to say is the days of Chol HaMoed preceding it. The first day, obviously, the Torah is very explicit, has an Isser Malacha like Yantif, first day and last day of Pesach. Now, Halo Masran HaKasuv El HaChachamim, and this was given over by the Torah to the rabbis, Lomar Lacha, to tell you, Eza Malacha Asura, that they can decide which Malacha is prohibited B'chulo Shol Moed on Chol HaMoed, Ve'ezo Muteres, and which one is permitted, U'Malacha Sheyesh Bahefsid. And when it comes to a malacha which has loss, if you don't do it, imeno osa, kigon lahashko space hashlachin itiru chachamim. So Rashi here gives you a important background. Rashi is basically giving you a basics of where does Chol HaMoed come from. We bring psukim, okay, whether it's d'oraisa or rabbanan, this will be our discussion hopefully next time. This is the real first meaty discussion. You see many rishonim and achronim that deal with this question straight off the bat. Based on this Rashi, look in Tosfos, similar discussion, brings the same Gemara in Chagiga, whether it's d'oraisa, whether it's rabbanan, not 100% clear, but the bottom line is Rashi says, at the very least, it was given over to Chazal to determine what is permitted in Chol HaMoed, what is not. And they said, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin is okay because there is hefsid. Okay, there is loss.
Why is Rashi limited to a har? Is he just saying
because
only
it's draining.
A har?
It's something that you can't do before Yontif.
Yeah, but you could have a...
It's an example.
What do you mean drain?
If it's on a mountain, water drains down, and so the tree, whatever you give the tree...
But it's on the top of the mountain?
That's what Rashi says. Omedes bahar.
Does that mean it's on the incline of the mountain?
It seems to be the simplest...
It
seems to be towards the peak of the mountain. It would be seeming to be on the top.
Is it flat
the logic is... At the very least, the edges of it would be inclined downwards.
Down.
The
so
point is, yes, the Mefarshim explained many, correct, and we'll see it in the other Rishonim that we're going to bring and discuss what exactly a Beis HaShlachin is, but the basic idea that Rashi seems to be going at is because it's at the top of the mountain, you always need to water it. Now, we could think of, from a scientific perspective, some reasons why that might be, the simplest of which is the drainage issue. We assume that water will descend down the mountain... And would be much more, if you look later on in the Gemara, a sada beis habaal, just jump down for a second, the opposite of a beis hashlachin is a beis habaal. Everyone jump down, you see it's about halfway down in Rashi. Beis habaal, everyone see where it is?
Yeah.
Okay, about halfway down the amud, the beis habaal, sada hu be'emek, ve'eno tzarech lahashkosa. This one's in the valley, and there, it presumed the water drains into it, so it's actually much better.
So what if it's
better.
On a hill as opposed to a mountain?
Right,
is
so...
Is it the degree of incline?
So we are... So. It's not necessarily about incline versus, as we're going to see, whether or not, because ultimately Rashi's already given us the Svara here. We don't even have to debate, right? There's always two parts to something that I've mentioned to a lot of the people here in the past. There's two parts to learning halacha and learning halachas from a Gemara. There's the words, can I make a diuk, and understanding what exactly does this word mean? What does Beis HaShlachin mean? Give me a definition of Beis HaShlachin, which we'll talk about today. But there's also the logic. Why is it that watering a Beis HaShlachin is okay? Rashi's told us, because if you don't water it, there's going to be a significant loss. So whether or not the word Beis HaShlachin technically includes this height of mountain and this incline of mountain, the bottom line is if that field is unable to get properly watered without significant, Rashi's tamid, regular watering... And that regular watering, we'll see. How much before do you have to do it? What if you didn't do it for a while? Very good questions. But the bottom line is, we're looking for a line of where is going to be a hefsid. And if that particular mountain is in a rainy country, and the top of the mountain, it rains every day, and there's no problem with the field, the svara would dictate you're not allowed to water such a thing. That, and again, whether we're going to say that's a beis hashlachin or not, we have a svara here. So we're very lucky in that way. But certainly we do need to define beis hashlachin.
But shouldn't have to be on a mountain. It's anywhere that you'll have a...
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah, it's a principle.
It could be on the Negev. today. I mean, it could be the Negev. It doesn't get
no,
water.
So why does Rashi say it's on a mountain? Why doesn't he say it's a place that it needs human input to water it, or else things will not grow or
right.
They'll die?
I mean, he does. Vitzarach lashkos atamid. Presumably, Rashi is giving a reasonable case where that happens. We'll also see that it appears in many other places. This notion of Beis HaShlachan sometimes means different things. So perhaps this could be. It could be Rashi has some sort of linguistic reason to say that. Not that I saw an interpretation like that, but we can always assume that.
Does anything flow from the fact that in the third line,
pun intended,
Rashi uses the words Hefsid Gadol,
yeah,
whereas the actual core for this is Hefsid. Could be a Hefsid Katan also.
So that's a really important question. We'll touch on a little bit. The term sometimes you'll hear used in halacha is Hefsid Meruba.
Yeah.
Meruba is similar to Gadol,
right.
Obviously.
Right.
And in general, a halachic exercise, which is relevant in various areas of halacha, is what is considered losing versus what is considered not making as much as you would.
That's right.
And that's very, very tough, especially when it comes to agriculture. Listen, you know, even a very well-watered field, maybe if I took better care of it, it would produce more crops.
Right.
So that balance is certainly one that Chazal are sensitive to. And I saw in many Mefarshim, when it comes to Beis HaBaal, there are those who explicitly say, yes, if you watered the Beis HaBaal more, it might grow a little bit more, but that's definitely not in that category. So Rashi's Hefsid Gadol is probably, again, not that we have a measurement of Gadol versus Katan. He does a davar shel hefsid hitiur chacham, as you said, you pointed out on the same line. He one time says hefsid gadol, one time says just hefsid. But it has to be something clearly significant enough. And again, these are the types of things. Your question, what exactly is the Beis HaShlachim? Your question is, what degree of hefsid? This is what we're going to explore a little bit once we get through the introduction. Now, it would be worth it for me to know, first of all, I'd like to finish reading the Mishnah and the Rashis on the Mishnah, but it'd be worthwhile to note at this point, you see over here, you have two things. Aleph and Beis on the source sheet are links to published texts of Perush Rashi on Maseches Mot Katan. To the best of our ability and to the best of our knowledge, this commentary here is not Rashi. Why? Because whenever people quote Rashi, they quote him saying things very different than what this commentary says. So again, for that reason, people, the academics, like calling it pseudo-Rashi, because adding the word pseudo in front of is cool. But ultimately, we will see, for example, in the Ritva, we'll see what Rashi is quoted as saying, certainly not found here. The exercise that the academics do, and the third thing is a doctorate by a guy named Fuchs on Perush Rashi and Maseches Mot Katan, and he evaluates all the different manuscripts, all the different evidence. One of the big parts, however, is looking at Rashi on the Rif. Rashi on the Rif is notably different than this version of Rashi, or this person claiming to be Rashi, or the person not claiming to be Rashi who somehow had his Perush slip into Rashi's spot. Ultimately, however, it's important to note, I will try to bring Rashi as often as possible. I have made the effort to retype it where possible, so I apologize in advance if there are any mistakes, because the OCR of those books is pretty crummy. So when I copy it down, it just looks like gibberish, so I say, what the heck, I'll retype it. But we will see Rashi being quoted, and on the other side over here, we actually have Rashi on the Mishnah. Even if you want to look at that right now, I
so
don't want to get
says
too carried away.
Rashi, that's not a perish on this.
Correct. It's what should have gone here. Uh-huh. It's what should have gone here. And these are two different people who publish from two different manuscripts. Each of them, of course, takes issue with the next, and yours is fake, and mine is real, and mine is fake, and mine is real. But anyways, we'll get to this Rashi, which is, again, one of the Rashi from Kisvei Yad, about Beis HaShlachin in its due time. You'll notice, if you're peeking now, Rashi there says, Sadeh Lavan Shel Tvua. Okay? Rashi is not with mountains and not with valleys. Rashi is not with any of this stuff. Okay, let's continue the Mishnah. Ubishvias. Okay, so not only is this Mishnah talking about Chol HaMoed, as we saw, but you're also permitted to water a Beis HaShlachin, well, again, whatever that is, on Shvias, says Rashi Mefarash B'Gemara. We're not going to spend too much time on that now. Bein mi ma'ayan sheyatza b'tchila, bein mi ma'ayan shelo yatza b'tchila. Whether from a ma'ayan that has recently emerged, says Rashi, de'achshav maschil linvoa, that is only beginning to let out water, she'adayin lo hichzika darka, which has not yet sort of created a path into the field. Okay, so you used to have these ma'ayanos, these springs, and you would want to create them a path so the water could flow into the field to water it properly. So whether it's one that's a recent ma'ayan, hasn't quite figured its way out yet, or bein mi ma'ayan shelo yatzah b'tchila, or whether it wasn't, ela ma'ayan noveya mizman meruba. It's already, it's an alta ma'ayan. Whatever the case is, okay? Those two are permitted. The Gemara will discuss this, as we'll see again. We're just doing sort of a quick run-through first, okay? Aval ein mashkin, lo mimei geshamim, velo mimei hakilon. However, you may not use water of mei geshamim and mei hakilon in order to water your field, only from your ma'ayan, okay? So meaning we're now limiting it, and we're saying you cannot use mei geshamim and mei hakilon. Now, what is mei geshamim talking about? Obviously, I see a lot of furrowed brows. What's a problem that you're bothered by, which everyone's bothered by?
Mei geshamim?
Yes.
What's the difference?
So first of all, let's define what is mei geshamim. Generally, what's geshem?
Rain.
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 So the Mishnah is telling us, use the mayan, but don't use the rain. What do you mean, use the rain? First of all, the rain's falling into the field by itself.
If you collect the rain somewhere else, and it's...
Okay, so that's what we're talking. Number one, it wouldn't be you doing it. And number two, the rain would seem like an even easier way to do it. So again, Rashi, or the Rashi on the side here, whatever we want to call him, okay? Says the Gemara will explain why that's extra work. Okay, if we're going to look into other Mefarshim, which we will soon enough, hold your breaths for a little bit. Don't hold your breath, actually. We might get caught in some other tangent. But ultimately, they'll talk about it's a place, as many of you said, where the rain is being gathered, and there is extra effort to schlep that rainwater, even though it did come from rainwater. To schlep that rainwater is more effort. And number two, or velomim hakilon, and not from kilon. Rashi does not comment on this. We'll see again in the other Mefarshim what kilon means. I did see in both the Steinsaltz and the Kahati, there is a Greek word, kilon, which is a particular type of receptacle they used to use to draw water. But that's not in many of the traditional Mefarshim. I thought I remembered Chaim Metzger. Or Rabbi Metzger. My apologies. I think of him as a friend that did not use his title. I remembered Rabbi Metzger having some sort of idea about Beis HaShlachen and Beis HaBaal, so I texted him. But he didn't remember anything offhand. He said check Steinsaltz, but Steinsaltz didn't say anything. Okay.
Do both of these rules with the rainwater and the cistern apply both to Shemitah and Chol HaMoed?
So we'll see the Mefarshim say explicitly. We'll see it today. The Mefarshim say explicitly. I mean, I don't know what the amount of time that we have, but the Mefarshim say explicitly does not apply to Shemitah. Does not apply to Shemitah. Because this is about Tircha, and Tircha is a Chol HaMoed rule, but let's wait till we get to these, and if we don't finish today because of the late start and other issues, so we'll get to it next week. But certainly a fair question.
Just a question of curiosity. The Siddur Rashi, is it supposed to be the same time as Rashi, or is this... say with the manuscripts, is it after Rashi?
Right, so I actually didn't look into that part. I was more interested in finding authentic Rashi to work with, personally. Presumably, though, usually when these happen, they're from approximately the same time as Rashi. And as you can see, right, in clear enough a style that people were okay with this for many hundreds of years. We have Rashbam is actually notably differently stylistic than Rashi. The places where he takes over or the places where he's parallel, like Arvei Pesachim, it's very, very clear that Rashbam has a much, much longer style, among other slight changes. Again, those people who study it know it a lot better. I'm sure that Fuchs dedicates a chapter or two exactly to this precise question, what is the identity of pseudo-Rashi? I would guess, at least, I hope, doctorate that only talks about real Rashi should have that somewhere in its who knows how many hundreds of pages. But ultimately, again, we're going to read this on the page because it's there, but I'm going to try to always provide where I think it's relevant what Rashi, again, at least in the volume that I have available to me, says. I should note the Keller Ksavyad is the only one that actually is on the first daf. The Kufr Ksavyad is actually missing the first daf in a bit. There's only one thing claiming to be Rashi here, other than this fake Rashi. Okay, so you'll notice, by the way, also one more thing, is we have now an entire Mishnah. This is actually Mishnah Beis in the Mishnayos, this next section. And if you look in many, many places, they didn't even have this part of the Mishnah here at all. Maybe they had actually Venos and Ogios Likfanim. That's where the next Mishnah starts after that line. And you'll see that Rashi doesn't comment on the entire rest of the Mishnah Neither do many other Mefarshim, because they didn't have that part of the Mishnah here. They had it before the Gemara talks about that.
If
yes.
The idea is on Chol HaMoed, you're limited in what malachas you can do. Mm-hmm. Chazal said for a base hashlachin, you're allowed to do malacha. But the Mishnah says you can only use a ma'ayan.
We will discuss. Methods. Yep, we'll discuss.
What kind of malacha are you doing with a ma'ayan?
Well, I mean,
you're allowed to do malachas, but
well, we're assuming that you are actively watering in some form or fashion.
So, what are you doing?
Watering
ma'ayan is water's coming out by itself from the earth.
No, you are doing some sort of active watering.
It's a tircha.
You're doing some active watering. Again, precisely what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Amas HaMayim, we're going to talk about, again, where you're bringing the water, where you're allowing the water to flow, you're using your foot to make a path, whatever it is that you're doing, there is some form of Sharia involved.
But the only malachas you're allowed to do are those associated with a spring. Is that what the Mishnah is saying?
It's saying if you need to water your field, use a spring.
Okay? Use
the water from a spring. Yes, that's
but
a better way.
But you're doing a malacha to use
yes.
something to do with that spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're taking the water from it.
So it's like a balance between tircha and hesped.
Yeah, and hesped. Yes, that's exactly what it is. But again, we're not going into that right now. We're just sort of getting our bearings here. Yeah. We're going to see the introductions. We're going to define beis hashlachin, or see if that's even the correct word. We're going to define, see a little bit in the Gemara. I'm going to skip this next part of the Mishnah just for the sake of time. Also, because again, it's not really 100% on what we're talking here. Let's jump down to the Gemara just to see the first section of the Gemara. Again, we're going to go pretty quickly. Says the Gemara. Hashtayesh lomar. Mimayan shiyatsa v'tchila dastilin pulei mashkin. Now that you're saying from a mayan which just started, which could theoretically asil in puli, which could theoretically fall down. Mashkin, you're allowed to water it. What is asil in puli? What does it mean that the spring's going to fall down? Says Rashi, hakarka shesviva, dadain lo hichzika darka. We don't know whether the water is going to cause the ground around it to make problems, whether it's going to collapse, and then you're going to lose the irrigation and the path that it takes for you to be able to get it. So says the Gemara, so does the Mishnah really need to tell us that you can even water it from a mayan shelo yatzeh b'tchila? Meaning the only concern apparently would be asilin puli might involve some sort of other malacha that would not be appropriate, either extensive tircha to rebuild the whole irrigation channel or whatever the case may be. But says the Gemara, once you've said that case of the new one, do you really need to say the old one? It's obvious, says the Gemara. Okay, we need it. You know why we need it? As follows. Because if it would have just said Mayan Shiyatza Bitchila, new one, Hava Mina Hachahu Deves Ashlachin in Beis HaBa'alo, Mishum Da'asili in Puli. So I would have said, if it just said Mayan Shiyatza Bitchila, I would have thought as follows. For a new Mayan, you are allowed to water a Beis HaShlachin because the Beis HaShlachin needs it. Otherwise, it's going to dry out. You're going to lose all your tefuah. And why can't you use it for a Beis HaBa'al, which is, by the way, the first time we're seeing this? A Beis HaBa'al seems to be, and we mentioned it earlier, we already saw this, Rashi, Beis HaBa'al is the opposite of a Beis HaShlachin. It's something that has a lot of water. Why can't you use it for a Beis HaBa'al? Because Asilin Pule, Aval Mayan Sheloya Tzvchila, but I would think, if it only said Mayan Sheyatze B'tchila, what is the halach about a Mayan Sheloya Tzvchila? I would have thought, the low Asilin Pule, which is not going to fall, Ema Filu Beis HaBa'al Nami! I would have thought that that's no issue at all. Anywhere it's no issue. So therefore, says the Gemara, Kamash Malan, Loshna Mayan Sheyatze B'tchila, Veloshna Mayan Shelo Yatze B'tchila, Beis Hashlachin In, Beis HaBa'al Lo. We don't care what type of Mayan it is. The point is, the Mishnah is telling us both cases so that we can properly differentiate between a Beis HaShlachin and Beis HaBa'al. And the rule is, a Beis HaBa'al may not be watered on Chol HaMoed, period. And a Beis HaShlachin may be watered whether Asilin Pule, whether there's a concern of Asilin Pule, or whether not. Okay? This is the shot of the Gemara. Okay? You can take a look at Rashi over here. Mashkin b'chul ha'shamor v'lo chayshin an delmanafil v'azil v'tarach tircha yasera. As we said again, there will be some added tircha if it collapses. Mayan shalayat v'chil shakvar hechzik darko, because already made its way. Mibaya, Demashke Menu Chol HaShamayah. Do we need to say that? Beis HaBa'al, we already read. Kamash Malan, Masnistin, our Mishnah teaches us. Titani, Bain, Mimayan, Shaloyas, Vitchila, Or either which way, it teaches us beis hashlachin in, beis habal, afilu me'ayin shelo yatzeh b'tchila, lo. Fine. Good. Adkan is the first basic comment of the Gemara. I just want to read the next part of the Gemara because it tells us what is a beis hashlachin and what is a beis habal. Then we'll get to, if we have any time left, the sources that were prepared to discuss these very questions. Okay. This is a fascinating Gemara. It's especially fascinating because, as we mentioned before, if you look in the Rif, what is the Rif supposed to do to the Gemara?
Paskin.
How does the Rif do that in all of Shas? What's the Rif's number one characteristic in how he tells you what he paskins? He takes scissors.
The annotation.
Right? And he cuts out the stuff in between, right? The way I always say it is, I always get students at the beginning of the year say, wow, this Gemara is so frustrating. Why can't we just have a Gemara which tells us all the conclusions? And I say, there is one. It's called the Rif. That's what the Rif's idea was. Fascinatingly, the Rif brings this very next Gemara, which is something maybe we'll discuss, maybe not. I don't have a clear, direct answer. I have something brewing, but I don't have a good question. But let's see what this Gemara says. Okay, here's what the Gemara says. Umay mashma. Everyone see it? Umay mashma? Umay mashma dahai beis hashlachin lishna ditzachusahi. And what implies exactly that these words, beis hashlachin, is language of tzachusa. Tzachusa, normally say lashon tzachus is like something sharp, but really what it means is dryness. How do we know that beis hashlachin means something which is dry? Fair question. Dichsiv, as it's written in last week's parsha, ve'ata ayef ve'yageya, and you were tired and weary, umetargaminan, ve'at mishalhi ve'la'i. You are mishalhi ve'la'i. What is mishalhi ve'la'i? Means, clearly, ayef ve'yageya. So we see that, therefore, again, how do we know that beis hashlachin means dry? The answer is, we translate ayef ve'yageya as mishalhi ve'la'i. Now, a number of big problems here. Okay? Big problem number one is, so how do you see that beis hashlachin? Well, I mean, the whole thing doesn't really make much sense. We said beis hashlachin means dry, so we're like, yes, mishalhi means tired. What's going on here? So point number one, Rashi over here says, v'heim mischalev b'ches. We know that from a drasha perspective, as well as from a language perspective, hey and ches are sounds that are made very similarly. Okay, they're both guttural, apparently. And because of that, not only are they often pronounced similarly, but they're swapped as a matter of drash sometimes also because they're very similar. Aleph, hey, ches, and ayin, those are all the same. Right? That sounds your... Exactly. Yes. Right. So, anyways, those letters swap. So at least we have... Fine. Shelach equals tired. How does tired equal dry? Again, Rashi doesn't clarify that. You can get your creative drash juices going, and we certainly will in due time. Okay, let's continue. Umay mashma dahai beis habal lishna dimiyasvusahi. And how do we know that a beis habal is language of miyasvusa?
Just to interfere for a second. Rabbi Scheinzel says, ayef here is translated as samea.
Very good. That's one thing that we're going. What the implication of the Gemara is, so I'll just say it out right now. What the implication of the Gemara is that ayef yageya actually means you were thirsty. That's how we are forced to interpret this Gemara on one level. It's a little bit of a stretch, but if you believe that the root chin lamed hey over here means thirsty, so that's what the Targum is telling us. Ayef yageya means you were really thirsty. Why is that especially relevant? What happens before Amalek? Vayachanu bir fidim vein mayim lishtos ha'am. So that was very, very important to keep in mind. That is probably what the Targum is in fact trying to say. What is ayef v'yageya? Doesn't mean they were tired. They weren't falling asleep. What does it mean? We know Amalek attacked them in Refidim, and in Refidim, that's where the Torah tells us that they were Same Lamayim. So that's probably the simplest pshat, but okay. How do we know Beis Habal is Lishna Dimi Yasvusa? What's Yasvusa? Yishuv. Really, again, it's not quite the opposite. It's more established, seems to be what the Gemara is saying. How do we know? Tichsiv, and then it's a very strange pasuk. Ki yiv'al bachur bisula. Umitargaminan are kima demitosav ulam im besulta yisaisivun begavech banaich. Okay, the whole pasuk yivavachu besula yivaluch banaich. And then Kimsos Chasan Alkala and the whole Yishaya poetry, all the Haftaras from around now. I don't remember exactly where this one is. But the idea is that for some way, the root Baal, even though normally it would refer to some sort of sexual activity, and in fact, we'll see, again, Rishonim that interpreted this way in this context, the Ba and the Gemara even interpreted this way in the context. But the point is here, it's a sense of settling, because obviously you don't want to explain Yivaluch Banaich. I should note, I brought the Pasuk right before it. If you look at Yishaya Samach Beis Dalet in source number Ches, the previous Pasuk is, Ul Artzech Lo Yeamer Ot Shemama, Ki Lach Yikarech Efsiva, Ul Artzech Be'ula. Okay, and the next thing, Ki Chavei Sashem Bach, Ve Artzech Tiba'el. What does that mean? It means, will be settled. Right? Will be meyushav. So that's where the Gemara is coming from over here. And it says this is what it means. So what's Yivalu Banaich? Yiseisvun Begavech Banaich. Okay. And then the Gemara gets into the Chas Chalamad, which we're going to get to. So we have a number of things that were left sort of blank. Sometimes it was definitions of terms. Sometimes it was explanations of these things here. You can see, by the way, on the side here, the Aruch brings that... It's Vayavo Esav min Hasadev hu Ayef. That's where it also says the root of Shelhi, which also Esav was clearly very hungry and thirsty at that point. The water was, the land was sort of thirsting for rain. Esav was thirsting when he came back from the field out, again, with Yaakov. Whichever the case is, though, again, you get this idea over here. Okay, let's take a look. First thing to me, the first place to look for Hakdama is the Rambam in his Parashat Mishnayos. Obviously, I would look at the Meiri too. I'm a big Meiri guy. Meiri, of course, quotes the Rambam always first thing. I pulled you from Bar Ilan. It's the Kapach translation. Very, very minor differences that I didn't believe were anything significant in the traditional translation. Okay. Babi Kabbalah says the Rambam, source number Dalet, Shechulo Shomoid Aser Basias Malacha. Chol Moed is Aser Du Malacha. Bamishna Kores Lechulo Shomoid Moed Bechol Makom. And he's again saying, don't think that Moed means Yontif, because again, that would be our natural inclination just in terms of language. If someone told you, again, Moed, you might think it's Yontif, but he's saying, no, it's always Chol Moed. V'chein yisbar b'kabbala, hagdaras melachos shemotr la'asosan b'moed, v'hagdaras melachos shasr la'asosan, v'zeh enyan mesechta zu. And he says, what's the point of this mesechta? Figure out helchas Chol Moed, what's allowed, what's not allowed. Okay, and again, you can see the fuller introduction of the Meiri. Certainly, one of the biggest discussions in the mesechta is Hilchos Chol Moed is one part of the mesechta, and as Rabbi Lesher referenced on his way out, the last perek is all Avelos.
Why is the Masechta called Moed Katan? Why not just Moed?
So first of all, in terms of identifying names, there probably were times that it was called Moed. Presumably because, first of all, it's a smaller Masechta. I don't know if anyone says that the Moed Katan refers to, like, that Chol Moed is a Moed Katan.
Right.
As opposed to saying it's a smaller Masechta of Moed. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't look that up at all, but it's an interesting question. Send me an email, I'll try to get back to you on that. Okay.
It's not a logical response saying Moed Katan is Chol Moed because it's
a Moed Katan. I would have expected that to be a little bit more front and center. A little bit more front and center. Now again, it's not like I read every word, and I certainly didn't look at why the Masechta is called this.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, if I remember correctly, a lot of the names of Masechtas that we have are not always necessarily known by that name to the Rishonim and otherwise, so I'll go and look at it. Bli Neder. Okay. Well, Mechlala Dvar Shemot El Asosan, this is what we're here for, is the Mishnah. Included in the things that is permitted to do, called Arashim Lo Yisyasek Bo, if you don't deal with it, Yebo Hefsid Gadol. Okay, again, Gadol. Kigon ha'adama hatzmea vehi beis hashlahin. Like the land which thirsts, the thirsty land, which is called beis hashlahin. Targum ayef, as ayef is translated, mishalhi. Okay, again, whichever ayef you're using, the Aruch's ayef from Esav, or whether you're using the ayef from Amalek. Ayef doesn't seem to be a good thing, by the way, between Esav and Amalek. Just a side point. But the point is, and he says this is called the beis hashlahin. Okay, he has it with a hey. You'll see also in the Ritva, and Ritva does a little bit more talking about this. Some people actually had that language. They didn't say a ches in their Gemara, said a hey in their Gemara. Obviously, a hey and a ches kind of resemble each other very, very, very similarly. Especially when you're talking about handwritten things, very easy to mix them up, and whatever one they chose, they would mix it up. Okay. Lefisha machmas tzimona, says the Rambam, what's the logic? Like Pseudo Rashi explained, im te'azev belimayim, if you leave it without water, yifsidu kol ilan oseha. All of its trees will be lost. So what are we already seeing? It's possible that it's not only just
wheat,
even fruit trees, presumably, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about the trees that are going to get ruined. Uvitnai, and on condition, shelo yehei bekach tarach gadol. The Rambam's being much, much clearer. You can do it, but it can't be a big tircha. Avalim haya bekach tarach gadol, asur lasoso b'moed. Ulefikach, asur lahashkos ha'adam atzmeya b'moed, mimayim ha'machunasim. You can't do from water that is gathered, v'chayotze b'hen or similar, mifin shetzorech la'aviro b'kli v'yesh b'zeh tarach. Because then you got to bring with a cleave. Zehu inyan make kilon. That's what make kilon is. V'chein make gishamim. Mipnei shem miskabetz mehen shlulios uchshi pasig hageshem v'yachlof shef ha'mayim yistarchu lahavir mehen b'kli. Okay, his point is, I'm not going to go into the specifics of what he's saying. His point is, like we said before, you're going to have to bring this. Anytime you have to bring it with a kli and you have to schlep water, that's tercha gadol, you can't do that. Anytime it's just a matter of creating an irrigation path to the thing from the flowing water, that's easy enough that you can do. Now,
so he's saying it's not a real avmalacha, so to speak, or anything like that. It's really just an issue of tircha.
No. There is clearly an avmalacha to water plants on Shabbos and Yantif, and presumably then on Chol HaMoed. He's saying, however, we allowed malachos for hefsid, but don't think that hefsid just lets you do what you want. Hefsid does not matter you tircha. Meaning tircha is when you have a malacha, says the Rambam, which is already permitted to you because of hefsid, okay. You can't have tircha. Okay, and again, I'm staying away from this. I'm trying to keep it in as vague terms as possible so we can have a proper shiur on it next week. And where does Melech Chol HaMoed, what's the story with it? Again, this is a major, major part of it, like we saw in, again, the Rashi that's on the side here in this. Let's take a look at the Ritva. So we now have, at the very least, two definitions of Beis HaShlachin / Beis HaShlachin. We don't know. Maybe Rashi agrees that Shlachin is this and Shlachin is that. I don't know. I'm making a bit of a joke. The point is, we have two definitions. One is the one at the top of the mountain, again, in terms of what's a technical definition, top of the mountain, versus the other one is a place which is any ground which is thirsting for water. Let's see what the Ritva has to say.
Are you saying top of the mountain or part of a mountain?
We said Omedes Bahar, which means
what's
on top
mean?
Of the mountain.
Omedes means on top of?
Usually.
And Ayef in Shlachan means that it's not satisfied with rainwater.
Yes, okay. Correct. Okay. Yes.
So okay. Why would there be a difference if it's on the top of a mountain, the middle of a mountain, or
again,
towards the base
Svara,
of
Svara, there's no difference. In Halacha, there's absolutely no difference. What the term Shlachin originally refers to and what it's being sort of borrowed for, that's what we're doing. A little bit of a lighter exercise. Okay. And that's why, again, it's important to see the Gemara. Again, where does the term come from? Now, that's not to say these are the only opinions as to where these terms come from, as we will see shortly. Says the Ritva, and here's where we get our first slap in the face that perhaps what we were reading the whole time wasn't Rashi. Says the Mishnah Mashkin Beis Hashlachin B'moed, he again has with the hey. Perish Rashi Zal. What does Rashi say? Beis Hashlachin Eretz Shehi Ayefa Limayim. Okay. First of all, we do not have that anywhere here. No Bahar, no Eretz Shehi Ayefa Limayim. This is a quote, right? Shetzricha Limayim Tamid. Okay, which needs water. And says whether the Ritva is not clear whether this is him starting to speak or Rashi. Okay, Perush bein ginnu nisa dahainu gan hayerek, uvein bagi dahainu sdei tvua. He says Rashi says it's a land which is ayefa lemayim, which is tired for water, presumably again thirsting for water. It always needs to be watered, and whether it's a gan hayerek, whether it's a sdei tvua, doesn't matter what it is. This sounds a lot more like what we saw in the Rambam. Right, Rambam just even said Ilanos, which Rashi doesn't say explicitly. Ritva doesn't explicitly. Ulkaman beGemara, gabe beis hashlahin checharva ma'ayana, or chareva ma'ayana. So the root chesresh beis can mean two things in Hebrew. What can it mean?
Destruction
or
desolate,
dried up. Right. Okay. So in that Gemara where it goes, or the main Gemara, Ilei Machar V'Mamesh, Pirasal, She'in Ba'lo Tvua V'lo Yerek. Okay? That it doesn't have any Tvua or any Yerek. V'yafish Pirash Rabbeinu Zal. And he's saying what Rashi said is very, very good, because he brings you two Gemaras here, which we're not going to read inside for the sake of time. But one, okay, Maishlahin Ginunisa, Kidichsiv Shelachayich Pardes Rimonim. Shelachayich, right, same root, Shelachayich Pardes Rimonim. So we see in one Gemara that it's a Ginunisa, which includes trees. It's Pardes Rimonim. It's an orchard of pomegranates. So we see that's possible, and that the Gemara refers to with the language of Shin Lamed Hei / Shin Lamed Ches, and Ches Kasabatim in Baba Basra, Amru Beis Hashlayin V'chol Dar Sha'osa Peros Tadir, Ches Kasan Gimel Shanim. Right? And he's saying that's not a state tvua. So we see that we have these things, right? We see that we have other references to Beis HaShlachin / Beis HaShlachin elsewhere that have a broader interpretation. He's saying, therefore, the fact that Rashi said, what's really a Beis HaShlachin? Anything that needs water. We're not limiting it to tvua or trees or greenery.
What would be the difference between a field that has tvua versus fruit trees? What do we think? Does one need more water than the other?
I would presume that it would depend to a great degree, but I would assume that the trees, which have larger roots and things like that, probably need less water.
Less water?
Well, there's also hefset gadol.
Yeah, what's a hefset gadol? Maybe that's a greater hefset.
Trees.
Yeah,
the fruit trees.
I think you can argue both ways, honestly, and which is why you have Rishonim.
It's important too.
Which is why you have Rishonim that go both ways. Ultimately,
wheat can be replaced.
What do you mean replaced?
It can be replanted. Fruit trees takes years to grow fruit.
Again, you have these in Rishonim. My point is to say the Ritva brings that we have right. The point is, right, velo mashma, you see it's about halfway through, the final word on the line below, velo mashma de ika hefresh ben shlachin beches o shlachin behei. Ki osios elu mischalfos zo bezu b'mesh shtehen osios agaron. Fine. Uvi yushalmi amr lo mimri rabbana la midrash ben heleches. All the stuff that I said before about heleches was all coming straight from this ritva. Uchtirin agave kodesh hilulim, that people darshan it as kodesh hilulim. Okay, that's his proof. Okay. V'hacha benuschi ika degaris beis hashlachin v'icha degaris beis hashlachin. Some people have with hay, some people have with ches. Doesn't matter. V'afa gav the gemara amrina delishna desachusikin amrina mishalhi v'lai harahiu ki'ilu amar deshlachin kamo shlachin milasho mishalhi. Saying again, don't worry about it. Right now, kitzvo shel davar. What's the main conclusion? And we'll end it with the end of this shiva. Ki shlachin hu nemar lefamon lashon klali al kol eretz shehitzmei alamayim bein yerek bein gan ilan bein stei tvua kedi isa hacha umishum hachim mifarshina begamara lishnu nesachusa shehei kol alishnehem. Okay, he says again, the correct interpretation is like what he believes Rashi says, which his version of Rashi said, again, obviously it's not this one over here, which is that it includes anything that needs water, which again fits very well with the Svara, and he says that's why the Gemara says it in such a general way. If it in fact would have been referring to, let's say, just fruit trees, like you're saying, or if it would have been referring to just tvua, so the Gemara should have been more clearly about that and saying, but the logic applies elsewhere. Says Ritva, no. The Gemara therefore gives a very broad definition, it's thirsty. Well, anything can be thirsty. Yeah, because anything that's thirsty, that's going to be a case of hefsid, and that's going to be the end of that. Now,
okay. And he also does not mention the hill or anything else. So it's anything that's thirsty.
Yep. And again,
you say the Rashi subtle difference, but it's only Rashi that says it's on the top of a mountain or
yes, at the bottom of a valley.
The bottom.
Pseudo-Rashi.
Yes.
And so this is essentially. Didn't see this Rashi.
Right.
Well, he quotes Rashi. The version of Rashi that he had is clearly not that. Right. That's why I brought this sort of like. That's why I made reference of the different Rashis, because anybody reading this would have, what are you talking about? Rashi didn't say that. Right. But Rashi did say that. This commentary that we have on the side of the Gemara said the language, Shlachin is the one, I don't know, maybe said it's sent away far at the top of the mountain. And the Beis HaBaal is like in the valley where it's lower, like, again, I'm sure you could come up with reasons why it's called that. Ultimately, lehalacha, I don't think there's so much of a disagreement.
It could be in the negative.
Correct. Meaning, lehalacha, it's a matter of hefsid. Maybe you could talk about a low plug. Maybe you would be able to argue on certain cases low plug, but I don't see a very large halachic difference.
The way this commentary here is making it seem
is
if gravity is working against having the field
wet,
that's a Beis HaShlachin.
Yes.
When gravity's helping it, it's not a Beis
HaShlachin. Exactly.
But according to the Ritva, it could be other factors, like environmental factors.
Correct.
If you're
but
in
what
a
I'm
desert,
saying is,
it's different than if you're in a rainforest.
100%. And that's exactly what they said. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're saying. My point is, if you held a gun to this commentary's head, to this commentary that's in place of Rashi, and you said, in the desert, Hefsed Meruba or not Hefsed Meruba.
On a flat plane.
On a flat plane in the desert, Hefsed Meruba or not Hefsed Meruba, I bet you he would tell you it's still Hefsed Meruba. Again, it may be something we're deriving from the case of Beis HaShlachin, right? But we're really just dealing with the semantics.
So what
here.
Motivated this Perush to say it's on a mountain?
So either one of two options.
In a valley?
One of two options.
Opposite?
One of two options. One of two options. Either because there's something, again, about the language of Shlachin or Baal that makes one be in the valley and one on top of the mountain, or option number two is simply giving an example of what was probably very common. In which case,
but it's
Rashi,
more powerful to give a principle than an example.
Absolutely. But perhaps that maybe this parish felt, because I'm giving you the logic behind it, no one's going to get confused. And that's what the words mean. Okay. Anyways, I'm throwing that out there. I would tend more towards, after reading the words, it really sounds like you're saying Beis HaShlachin is, again, when gravity is works against you, and Beis HaBaal is when gravity works with you. But ultimately, again, I'm saying I don't think there's going to be so much of a difference in halacha. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We'll continue with this next time. There's a lot to see. You can peek at the Rashi that we have. So Beis HaShlachin down here in source number Vav, very quickly, Eretz Ayefo Tzricha Mayim Tadir. Whereas on top, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin, Rashi does say Sade Lavan Shal Tvua. So we'll have problems to work with. We will have, and ultimately, a lot more to see Derech Emuna, which is even contemporary. Din Beis HaShlachin Mishtana Lefi Min HaNizra Ulefi Zmano B'Tkufat HaShana. Like, there's a lot, so many factors to deal with. We'll try to see what different Rishonim say and to work with this next week, and I guess Hilchos Kol HaMoed will have to wait an extra week. Shkoyach.